Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Saturday evening, July 1984, summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Doc Agin is the speaker of the evening.
One thing he spoke to us was the mountains or the hills. And I've always, for years, figured these were spiritual mountains and also natural mountains. And I don't know the extent of disaster on the coastlines of our nation, but these mountains may look pretty good a few years from now. You know, ticks and all, they may look good. But I'm just glad to be a part of what the Lord's doing. You're not the only crazy people in the world, that's for sure. There's some more of us around. And we're not trying just to have a church or build a church, and we are building a new church, but it's to have conventions in and store and prepare for people that doesn't know what's going on. And I know that the church will say, well, just believe in the Lord and he'll take care of everything, but I'm a realist. And I found out the only way God takes care of things is through somebody that's willing to work. Amen? Just to sit down and believe God's going to do everything is just won't work. Joseph had to store the corn, and Noah had to build the ark, and such, right on down through the... And you pray for Brother Miller. I'll tell you, he's the only guy I know is busier than I am, but he's not near as big as I am, and I know now why. He runs more than I do. He runs it all. We got a big job ahead of us, and we need all the workers we can get. I mean dedicated, consecrated personnel that's sold out to a cause. We've got to get over the personality, and we got to get over really our beliefs. As long as somebody's honest and clean and have the right attitudes and the right motives, then we need to try to flow with them, because the purpose of establishing the kingdom of God on the face of this earth is number one priority. And the rest of it's got to flow in that dimension. See? So we're so glad to be here. Really, we are. We love you, and honey loves you. Hallelujah. I feel a peace. I really feel a real peace. And I feel like God's putting people together that nothing's going to tear us apart as we go through the years ahead. Let's go over in Psalms 120. And I promise you, I'm not going to preach. We'll just talk a little, and maybe tomorrow morning we'll get into some little deeper things. I had no idea of talking about the end time and some of these things this afternoon until I got to praying. And how many's familiar with the book of Psalms? Get your pencil paper out, and I'll give you a little outline on Psalms, and you can refer to it as you're working. Several years ago, we put out a little message on the Pentateuchs, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And God gave us an outline. And eventually we're going to get it in printed form. The book of Genesis was likened to the prophet. And David picked it up, and Moses put it together, the book of Psalms, in five parts. And the first part of Psalms is likened unto the book of Genesis, from Psalms 1 to Psalms 41, is a prophet concerning man. This will help you when you're studying Psalms. Psalms 1 through 41 is concerning man, or the book of the prophet, or the book of Genesis, works in harmony. Psalms 42 through 72 is in parallel with the book of Exodus, or the evangelist. It's an evangelistic book, the book of Exodus. Changing, moving, concerning Israel as a nation. It's also concerning spiritual Israel as a nation. How many knows we're the Israel of God? We're spiritual Israel. Psalm 73 through 89 is pertaining to the pasture, or the book of Leviticus, concerning the sanctuary and the temple and working on our inner man. Psalms 90 to 106 is very short. Is parallel to the book of Numbers concerning Israel and the nations of the earth. And I think this is one of the key things that we need to really get a hold of, that we're Israel of the earth. Honey and I got real humorous today. listen to a fellow on the radio, and there's nothing happening on the earth. Everything's over yonder, and I didn't take that very long. But anyway, the book of of Numbers is the apostle, and it's Psalms 90 to 106. Now, tonight we'll be dealing from 121, which calls in the last category, the book of Deuteronomy, concerning God and His Word, which is the teacher. How many of us we need to be taught? So Psalms 107 through 150 is the teacher concerning God and His Word, parallel to the book of Deuteronomy. Did everybody not get them? The apostle was from 90 to 106. Numbers. All right, the prophet is Genesis. It's Psalms 1 through 41. Is the book of Genesis, Psalms 1 through 41. It's in parallel. You get fouled up when you start. Yeah, concerning man. But the first 41 books of Psalms is in parallel with the book of Genesis. Yeah. Hallelujah. The obedience of man, the tree of life, etc., etc. The ruin, the fall. Seed of the woman. Okay, the evangelist works in the book of Exodus. It's from 42nd chapter of Psalms through the 72nd chapter. There's 30 chapters dealing with the book of Exodus concerning Israel as the nation. 42 through 72. 30 chapters. The pastor is 73 through 89. The book of Leviticus. Concerning the sanctuary. The apostle is 90. Psalms 90 to 106. Which is in, corresponds with the book of Numbers. It's a new break. It breaks at chapter 90. It breaks. Now, the teacher runs from 107 through 150, which is the book of Deuteronomy, concerning God and His Word. And there's a lot more to it that I won't go into it tonight. Hallelujah. But in prayer, I went back and picked up Psalms 120. Psalms 121 says, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me." Hallelujah. Also in the Pentateuchs of Psalms, in the five different categories, each one of them starts out in distress. Now, this particular psalm is Hezekiah's prayer, Psalms 120 and also 121. But it's in distress. And I think this is what God really pricked my spirit with this afternoon. We need to pray in distress. And the reference goes to Jonah. Jonah never moved God till he got in distress. And there's something about us, we're prone to put it off just as long as we can, or tolerate it just as long as we can, or put up with it, or live with it. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and do what? Heal their land." So there's no need for the land to ruin or for us to ruin as an individual, except we fail to call out to God. So, when I get involved with Jonah, of course, it turns me on. But I can see Jonah in the middle of this fish trying to remember the promises of God. You can't hardly have faith when you've got a real problem, can you? When I was laying there at the point of death, paralyzed, and didn't know whether I was going to live or die, I knew, but nobody else knew. But I just couldn't produce that faith that I needed. It had to be the church and honey and everybody praying around the clock and people we knew across the country. But God had made a promise to Jonah and all of Israel, if you look toward the temple and pray, I'll answer your prayer. How many remembers that? See, here's a man that's, he's just a type of us, going to do his own thing. Bought his own ticket, built his own house. Come on. And wound up in the middle of the fish's belly, total darkness, no generator in there, brother, and all the seaweed and the chaos and all the stuff that's involved in the fish's belly, and him trying to find out where the temple was. Can you see him just crawling around on his hands and knees and having seaweed and said, "My God, I wish I knew where the temple was." And there's no need to pray it if you don't pray in the right direction. See? We waste so many years and so many prayers not knowing where the temple is, not really finding the right direction out of distress and finding God. But anyway, to make the story real short, the people of Nineveh, of course, worshiped the fish god. How many knows that? Well, most of us know that. Can you imagine the effect that this had on these people when this big old fish come up there and vomited out on the shoreline a man totally white and bleached out and looked like a ghost? And just immediately he was downtown. So his message was effective, but he become an effective minister. Now listen to me. This is a little humorous, but I want you to hear me. He become an effective minister of the salvation of God out of distress. Didn't he? And, oh, yes. But you understand that if you really study the original Hebrew, that he did die. He was death, burial, and resurrection. And this is hard for some folks to understand. But Jesus confirmed it, said there's no other sign given except death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. And some of the original manuscripts says, out of the place of the disembodied spirits, Jonah cried. So he did lose his body. He came up and resurrected Jonah. And a lot of fellows don't want to deal with this, and I'm not trying to shake you up over it, but I just want to show you a principle. To be effective, you have to cry out of distress. So, Hezekiah here said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Hallelujah. There's no way in the world that God will not hear you and move for you and work for you if you'll cry out of distress in the proper perspective toward the temple. God just will not turn a deaf ear if you meet the conditions. The reason thousands of folks never really see the miracle working power of God, they don't meet the conditions. They try to get God to work for them instead of working with them. See, we've got to start working with God, not for God. And we've got to quit using God as a Santa Claus working for us. We're going to have to come to the place to cry out in God's ways and let him hear us. Now, he said, verse 2, Psalms 120, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. Now, this word deliver is a Hebrew word, pluck me, or pluck me up. And move me by deliverance. See, we need to be delivered. But the thing we need to be delivered from is our own, listen to me, we don't have no visitors tonight, do we? Our own lying lips. It's our own words that gets us in trouble. Our own negative attitudes and vocabularies. And I'm sure this is not the problem here with Hezekiah, because he was in an awkward situation. But he said, pluck me up. And my soul is really nephesh, or me. It's the whole man. And there's some, what I say, 173 different ways this word is used for a soul. But the soul here was not the invisible breath or invisible something. God's not trying to deliver your spirit or your invisible man. God's trying to deliver your soul, which is you. You are a living soul. And when we once get a hold of the principle that God's looking to deliver the whole man, it's going to really change our attitudes and our prayer lives. Now, and from a deceitful tongue. Now, why is the tongue so important? The tongue in the Scripture, James says, it's the only thing that'll kill you. I've searched the whole Bible, and the only thing in there that'll kill you is your tongue. And it's way back. It's life and death. Whew, glory to God. But it's full of deadly poison. And nobody can tame it. That's the reason you have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no way in the world you can tame your tongue without the spiritual operation. Hallelujah. Then he says in verse 3, what shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me, for I have sojourned to, somebody help me, Mesha? Kabar. Kabar is, Kedar? Kedar. Oh, okay. It's used typically for cruel or violent people or Philistine nature. It's also used as dark. And there's no black folks in here, and we're not dealing with that dimension. But there's a darkness and a Philistine nature and a power that we need to be delivered from. See, the thing that's got us bound is the power of darkness, or the soul man and the flesh man, that we're bound by our tongue. It's as simple, it's so easy that we've missed it. We can't see the forest for the trees. We wanted God to come and deliver us, and I believe in that, and we wanted this to happen, to that. But the whole principle is that my deliverance is in my vocabulary. Well, I prayed and I spoke and I confessed it, and nothing happened. Well, was you in the right direction? Did you have the right motives? Was the right thought behind it that you was trying to get your prayers answered? See, and you've got to have the right motive. Hallelujah. Now, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hath peace, that hateth peace, for I am for peace. And the Lord really quickened this to me this afternoon. Are you a man of peace? Are you a man of war? Are we really for peace? Are we really for the war? And I think we're all men of war. There's something in us that's always warring. But if we could come to the place that our lips would only speak peace, then that first thing you know, we'd become people of peace. And I can't bring peace on the earth till I become peace. And I still get flustered. Huh? How many still get shook up once in a while? Well, if you're involved in a problem and you have anxieties and you're all disturbed, there's no need of you trying to bring peace to somebody else. I teach our children, never correct your child while you're upset. Because the child's already upset, and if you get upset, you just got two problems instead of one. And the poor child doesn't know, so you got to get down, calm, and get everything peaceful before you can really deal with it. But they are of war. Hallelujah. Now, this was all the wickedness that Hezekiah had to put up with and deal with in his day of kings. And tomorrow morning, we'll get over to some of the time, the 10 degrees on the sundial and the 15 years, and bring it over into the half-hour silence from Revelation 8, if the Lord's willing. And we'll have people here. They'll think I've gone crazy, so y'all pray for us. But the Lord gave me an outline this afternoon, and I wrote it all down here, so you just have to bear with me. Hallelujah. Now, verse 121 is what I want to deal with. I lift up mine eyes into the hills. We had a Spanish boy that didn't know anything about God. He thought Jesus was a guy that took dope down in old Mexico. And really, that's all he knew about the Lord Jesus, just was the name. And 66, 7, 8... several years ago in Phoenix, the Lord gave him a vision of the end time. And some of the things he'd already given us, we had him fasting and praying, trying to get him delivered. And it almost scared him to death. He didn't know what in the world he was seeing. And he come to me and said, tell me what this means, brother. Tell me what this means, brother. I said, me don't know what I mean. He said, me don't understand. So I tried to explain to him what after he told me. And he saw ourself and others and you folks and people in these groups in mountains and hill country and places of refuge and people flowing into them, people coming to them. And he didn't know nothing that we know. And I think these are natural hills and also spiritual mountains. Because mountains are always strongholds. And Hezekiah said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills or to the mountains from whence cometh my help. Now, we've done a research on Psalm 72, and we dealt with a corporate man there, the he that feeds the nation. In verse 18, said there's a handful of corn on the top of the mountain. The word handful is abundance of corn on the top of the mountain. So everybody that gets in Zion, whether it's spiritual or natural, is going to have abundance of corn, and we're going to eat, and we're going to feed the nations. Amen? I mean, this is the way it's going to work. And I don't have time to deal with Psalm 72, but it takes about 3 or 4 days to outline it. But you've got to understand that God's a building up a body of Christ on the top of the mountains that's absolutely going to be the salt of the earth. They're going to be the light of the world. We're going to be the people that's alive and remain after the warfare is over. The whole battle is over. See? And, well, he said, from whence my help comes. Now, in this section, verse 2 said, my help cometh from the Lord. So now we know the Lord is that mountain in that dimension. But we also know that the heavens must retain him or contain him until the time that every enemy is put under his feet. So the Lord is not coming and do the job. He has come. He's given you and I himself through the Spirit and give us commission to do the job. He's waiting and bound in the heavenlies until we put every enemy under his feet. And he said, the good and faithful servant that I find doing when I come. See, so we can't just be sitting around and waiting until he comes. He said, I've had hundreds of them tell me, he said, occupy till I come. I said, do you know the meaning of the word occupy? It's working. It's a military form and word. Be militant. Be on the job. Be persistent and be alert. Get the job accomplished. Be in control. And God's looking for somebody that's going to be in control when he comes. Oh, glory to God. That's ruling and reigning with him and him ruling and reigning with us. So our help comes from the Lord. Oh, God. Which made the heaven and earth. And I think we shared the other day when we were here that there's three mountains. Ophel, Moriah, and Zion. And Zion is the high place in God. And all of these other two mountains, these other two dimensions, has got to move up or be subject to destruction. So this is a little crude, so you can't... I'm just saying this because we're here. But you can't get at ease in Zion. Even in Zion, you can't get at ease in Zion. Even if you get to Zion, you've got to keep on occupying and working there and dealing with there. Praise God. So let's look at the word Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. Now, here is Jehovah primarily and not just a mountainous place or a place of refuge. And let's look at his name in redemptive form. Now, we said the other day that there was 9,289 names and titles for God. But Jehovah is not the Lord God Almighty. It's not Elohim the corporate. But Jehovah Jireh is what? The Lord that provided. So Hezekiah said, I'm going to look to the mountains or to the Lord Jehovah the provider. Glory to God. And there's 28 of these Jehovahs. And I'll use five or six of them tonight and then we'll go home. But I want you to know one thing, that I have no provision tonight except in Jehovah Jireh, who's the provider. And the beautiful thing about it, church, he doesn't have to provide. He already has provided. Glory to God. And he said, if I don't have it, said, I'll just create it for you. Glory to God. You don't have to worry about God not providing. The only thing that hinders God from providing is you and I meeting the conditions to release the provisions. The stress. Now, let me play that back. The only thing that hinders God from providing is for you to fail to meet the conditions that looses the provisions that you have need of. God gave me a vision of it once. And you see, David said, thou preparest a table for me where? In the midst of my enemies. So it would be no problem for God to provide for us if we were all friends here tonight, but let our enemies come along. See? And the beautiful thing about it is God has it prepared. This is what he showed me. Hallelujah. And all I have to do is pull the right lever, so to speak, in the spirit. The sunshine. You don't have to pray for the sunshine. You just got to get in it. You don't have to pray that God will make the plant grow. You just put it in the soil and meet the proper conditions, and it reproduces itself. This thing is designed the same way. Every provision of God is designed to reproduce if we meet the conditions that brings forth the reproduction. Now, stay with me. That's right. Yeah. We're going to have distress. Now, you got to understand Hezekiah. You know about Hezekiah. He's a righteous king in the midst of a bunch of wicked idolaters, etc., etc. And it looked like that God was going to let him be destroyed, but you know the story. But you see, Adam, if I had a blackboard, we'd draw this out. But let's just ablib it. Adam was placed in the garden, paradise, geographically, spiritually. I've penned us both, okay? And he was given everything that he needed to stay alive. Wasn't he? And he said, you got a tree of this, and I'll call that a bean tree. And you got another tree, that's a corn tree. And you know, you can name them anything you want to, but everything that the physical man needed to eat to stay alive was in the garden. Adam could have still been living by just taking care of the soul man and eating the things that would keep him alive if he had not disobeyed God before he ever entered the tree of life. The tree of life was just immortality, a place that he would never be subject to death. But even in a place of being subject to death by disobedience, he had provisions to keep him alive. Just read it. You just check it out. Read it real slow. And everything that you need to keep you alive, God gave it to you before you knew anything about it. So sin don't die. See? But you got to plant the potatoes, you got to plant the beans, and you got to take care of them. You still got to put some works with the faith. But everything that mankind needs to survive is already here. You don't have to pray that God will supply your need or send you in some workers. God's already given everything that we need here to keep us alive. Before we ever get to immortality. But he's also give us an opportunity to stay alive, get the sin out of us, praise God, and then we can eat the tree of life. I won't deal with this in the morning, I promise you. But anyway, the whole program is being alive. The most important thing on the face of the earth is being alive. So Jehovah Jireh is the one that provides. And Jehovah Rapha is what? The Lord that healeth thee. Now, the first covenant that God made with Israel after crossing Red Sea on the side of the hill was, I'm the God that healeth thee. And that word healing is a powerful word. That's the God that supply your needs and heal you and take you. And you know those folks had a good thing going. There wasn't none of them sick. Ooh, they had no piggly wiggly, but they had plenty. Shoes didn't wear out. And the thing that always amazed when the ladies got in the family way and their dresses grew out. After delivery, the dresses drew back, you know. Wore the same dress for 40 years. Wasn't no maternity dresses in those days. Did your girls wear the same outfit for 40 years? And not complain now. That may be why most of them now they want a new dress. Here again. Egypt Moth. I'm preaching on that, praise God. And here's where I'm coming from. The Jehovah, the provider and the healer, made provision that they was taken care of in every area. There wasn't a sick person amongst them. Whew, glory to God. And we haven't even reached that far yet. You know, I believe in El Shaddai and Elyon and all of these redemptive names of God in His fullness and the Almighty and all this. But I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. We need to learn Jehovah, the provider. And I know I get anxieties over finances. And we're in a place right now. We need to finance America. And I'm sure that I'm not by myself. You probably need one here too. But you see, we have to come to the right place and out of distress and right motives of God and cry out. And God will always supply. He just can't keep them supplying because it's just like electricity. It's been here all the time. But nobody knew about it until a fellow accidentally tapped into it. Come on, the provisions, everything that we have need of is here. Even for immortality and eternal life, it's already here. Whew. And I was preaching this thought a little bit yesterday, and I didn't get into this thing. But the kingdom has been in reach for 2,000 years. And I know there's a new order and a new change coming. But I know one thing, we need to occupy what God's already given us. As Jehovah, Jireh, Arnisa. Come on, praise God. And all these things that's ours. How many knows that Jehovah Nisa is here? The presence of God is here. We've got the presence of God. If we've got Him in His presence form, praise God, we've got everything that He is. And Ezekiel tried to get us to see this in the last 8 chapters. And of course, John dealt with it in Revelation 21, that the presence of God does. There'd be no need for the moon or the sun or the light because we're going to be the light. That doesn't mean that God's going to turn the sun off. You know? But praise God, that's the thing that gives the natural, but we're going to have the spiritual life and the spiritual life, and we're going to give life to suffering, dying humanity. They're going to come and eat of the trees and planted by the waters of life, praise God, and we're going to eat, and we're going to give them to eat, and their children's going to eat, and praise God, we're going to learn it's already here. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Shalom, our peace. We need to learn that one. I'm just going to pick out a couple of these. Our righteousness. Elyon, Jehovah Elyon, this is the Jehovah the Most High. And Rapha is my shepherd, and David talks about it. And just as sure as we're gathered here tonight, the enemy doesn't want us to know this, but we have been redeemed. Not with corruptible things, but we have been redeemed. Well, I'm still having a lot of problems. I understand that. But that doesn't do away with the fact that you have been redeemed. Now I've got to learn to walk in it. Just as well as God has gave us everything that we need to keep us alive, naturally. He's given us the same thing that keeps us alive spiritually. He quit at 9, I'm fixing to quit. I'm glad my watch quit. I gotta watch that one. Hallelujah. How many know that we don't like anything in Him? But the enemy doesn't want us to know that. And some of it's been caused by our old teaching. We have to pray it down and fast it down, and I believe it. But it is down. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. You want me to quit or you want an illustration? I'm not total reconciliation, you know that. But through the blood, everybody is saved. And God does not have to come and save. I wasted years praying God come and save him. Well, it's stupidity. He's saved. He just doesn't know it. And some folks never will come to the conscience of it. But the day that he realized that the blood has brought him salvation, he repents of his sins and accepts the salvation, he identifies with what's already took place. Is that the way it works? Sure it is. Well, I found the Lord. No, the Lord wasn't lost. You know. God don't come down here and save you on an individual basis. The plan of salvation saves every man that'll come and drink of the waters of life freely. And repent. But now, as far as I'm concerned, no repentance, no salvation. That's just where I stand on it, okay? But that doesn't do away with salvation. It is available for every man that'll repent. But there's qualifications. There's requirements for salvation, right? Divine healing, the same principle. By his stripes, you are healed. You can cut it any way you want to. The bottom line is, God don't come and heal you. You're healed. But you got to get distressed enough to get into the fountain or into the place of the temple and meet the qualifications that looses that healing that's yours. Well, see, that's hard for us to understand because we've been taught we got to pray and pray and pray for God to come and heal us. Was we healed or not? I mean, according to the Scripture. How many knows we don't have it yet? But the reason we don't have it, we don't walk in it. Because the enemy don't want us to know what's ours. As long as he can keep us blind, we won't ever declare what we got. Well, you got to chill on that until I come back. I can see that. That is exactly what I'm saying. There's nothing else he's going to do for you or can do for you. If there is, he's got to come back and be re-crucified and die all over and start all over again. But he said it's finished. All things are accomplished. Only believe. God help us. Martha, do you believe this? Now, I got my Holy Ghost by tarrying for it because they told me I had to tarry. And when I got good enough, it would come. But come to find out, I never did get good enough. The Holy Ghost don't come because you're good. It comes to lead you and teach you and guide you and make you good. We used to think, boy, we was really A1 when we got the Holy Ghost. But you see, the Lord don't have to send the Holy Ghost. It has come. It is here. It's omnipresent. You can't change it. I don't care what. Some folks say, well, I don't believe it. Well, I can't help that. They don't believe because they haven't experienced. But I know the Holy Ghost is here. That's the only way it'll work. What it is. Yeah, whatever. You have to believe it so that you just make it happen, I guess. Because you're more concerned over scale saws and chainsaws than you are God till you're getting distressed. And the saws don't mean nothing. You just start seeking God. Okay? Okay, brother. That's right. It said all of them died in the wilderness because they didn't mix faith with the promise. Now, that's powerful meat, but that's what it says. I know what he said. But the flesh man won't do that till he's forced to do it every time. Sure. So salvation is here, the Holy Spirit's here, divine healing is here, so divine health has to be here too, see. But we haven't learned to make it work. But we will. Because it worked in Jesus. I've done an outline on John. John's gospel, of course, is the eagle company and Christ on the throne. But in John 5, there's 20 things there that he absolutely proved that he was God in the flesh. In John 5. the sin forgiver and the bearer and so forth. But you see, he wasn't bound by anything for the simple reason he knew who he was. That's all's wrong with me. I just haven't really found out who I am yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. And brother, it means something to be a son of God. I'm not talking about a believer now. I'm talking about a God incarnated in humanity. And this is a little bit strong. I'm glad we don't have no visitors. But God was incarnated in Jesus Christ. Now, that's not reincarnation. You know, a lot of folks go off the deep end here. But it's God in the flesh. And he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Anybody else got a question? I'm going to close. Hallelujah. So pray for me in the morning. But we'll skip by some of this heavy stuff and deal with tribulation. Go ahead, brother. Brother, I just haven't figured that out. Lack of knowledge is the only thing I know. Unbelief. Yeah. Catholicism says, give me a child, 7 years, 9 years, and see. And we Pentecostals are just as bad. We've been programmed. We've got to suffer for the Lord. Got to die for him. I told a fellow yesterday, I said, well, go ahead and believe in dying now. And don't get me wrong, I'm not throwing those stones at you if you believe in dying. But I want to challenge you. What good are you to God dead? You can't preach. You can't testify. You can't give. You can't build. You can't do nothing. God dead. That's right. We believe what our grandparents believe. 99% of us do. Tradition. She sure does, boy. Not infallible. No. What if we don't agree? But it's real imperative that we get in the book, not just to prove a point or to, you know, prove what we believe, but just find out what the program is. Just find out what it's all about. That's right. That's right. Praise God. Well, I was preaching to 57 in a little town in Oklahoma when the Lord took my rapture away. I got so scared. I had an early new Thompson chain, and I just got shaken. I quit preaching and went outside. Because, buddy, when it hit me like a ton of brick, that all this is going to take place before the coming of the Lord, so that eliminated the rapture. Well, they're not here tonight. Yeah. And I went out and talked to one of my fellow ministers, the pastor McAllister. And he said, well, you don't understand. This happens before the rapture, and that's after the rapture. And I said, now, look, I'm not too smart, but I know a paragraph when I see one and a capital letter. And I said, this is all one statement. Nothing changes here. So I went to the district superintendent, which used to be my pastor, and I said, explain this to me. Well, he said, this means that. And I said, well, that's what that other fellow said. But I said, that's really not what it's saying. So anyway, if there wasn't going to be no rapture, then what in God's world was going to take place? Because I didn't know. So I got in the book. And I started in the book of Daniel. And I wore Daniel out. And I just, year after year, I kept working. Of course, God gave me the message of life in 61 or 60. But you can't see kingdom really without seeing life. See, if you're going to rule and reign, you got to be alive to rule and reign. Any fool knows that. But see, that dead man just don't rule nothing. But they just don't stop and think. Just plain logic is all it is. But 64, I guess 65, when this happened, I was raised on the floor, and she all of a sudden she said, did you hear that? I said, hear what? What Bible did you read? What translation? Uh-oh.
Mine don't read like that. One guy looked at it, and it did read that.
Yeah.
I said, don't you say nothing, no mind.
Dear God. That's that. But I've showed Daniel chapter 7. We built our church. We first year, I preached every Sunday morning from Daniel 7. Now, this is 12 years ago. Because I already had it mastered by then. But anyway, I've showed that to at least 500 people that believe in the rapture. They just walk off and shake their head. They won't believe it. See? When the saints is going to inherit the earth and dwell there forever, they just walk off. Said, yeah, I know, but, you know. Amen. Praise God. I believe it. Be alive and remain when he gets here. So let's believe God for tomorrow. There's all. There's none of these things are by accident. What are you going to do? Well, if you read, if they'll read with me, or we'll just play it by ear. And but Hezekiah moved God. Didn't he? Whew. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. Praise God. Well, maybe we'll pick up Micah in the morning. Micah 4. Go home and study it. Glory to God. Matthew 24. Revelations 8. And we'll work with those and fill them in with Micah if we can. Father, we thank you for Brother and Sister Miller, precious people here, and a beautiful spirit that we feel tonight. Lord, we are the first to admit that we don't know all things, but we know what we do know, Father, has been by the Spirit. Now, Lord, give us wisdom to deal with people. God, give us wisdom to even deal with our own minds and our own bodies and our own lives. Help us to be honest with ourselves, Lord. And we commit it all into your hands and ask you, Father, to touch the hearts of those people that are here tomorrow, God, that's got a seed in them or a spark in them. God, there's people that's predestined for this, and God, touch them tomorrow. In the name of the Lord, we thank you for this meeting and this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the program of God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, Brother Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.